Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. He's the music executive who helped Bill Withers and Janet Jackson break through. He wrangled Hank Aaron's sponsorship deals with Coca-Cola. He lured NFL player Jim Brown to the silver screen. He's who P. Diddy called when he got in some trouble. He has Barack Obama and Kamala Harris in his Rolodex. His name is Clarence Avant, and in the entertainment business, he's known as the Black Godfather. Producer of Django Unchained and the Academy Awards, director of Marshall and House Party, and former president of BET, Reginald Hudlin profiled Avant for his new documentary. He interviewed nearly 75 people from Quincy Jones to Bill Clinton, all of whom can claim that Avant had a profound impact on their careers and their personal lives. And of course, Hudlin spoke with the legend himself. The film is called The Black Godfather. It is on Netflix and in select theaters. And Reggie Hudlin is in studio now. Thanks for coming on in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So when people ask you the question, why is Clarence Avant important? Why is he?
Well, the fact that you don't know who he is, but he's been responsible for most of the biggest pop culture events in the last 50 years. You just go, well, how is that possible that this guy is so influential, but I don't know who he is? And, I'm a well-read person. Well, that should make you go, well, that's a very powerful person that he knows that many famous people, does not want to be famous, but continues to shape popular culture.
Why doesn't he want to be famous? Why didn't he want to be famous?
I think he learned very early on from his mentors who were, one of his mentors worked for Al Capone. And to quote the great KRS-One, real bad boys move in silence. And I think it took that to heart.
And his life story is amazing. He's from Climax, North Carolina. Like I Googled things to do in Climax, North Carolina. Like Mary's Goat Farm came up. That was it. Like there's nothing going on in Climax, North Carolina. And he was born 1931-ish.
Yeah.
One of eight children. How would you describe his upbringing?
As they say, sharecropping is not technically slavery, but it's slavery, right? So it's a town where his mother said, well, if you're walking and you hear a truck approaching, just run into the woods and lay flat so they won't see you. Because the presumption is at any given time, you will be a target like wildlife and they will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he had a stepfather who would physically beat his mother. So it didn't matter inside the house, outside the house. It was a hostile, violent environment. And at 13, he said, I'm going to do something about it, and put rat poison in his stepfather's food. His little brother told his dad, I wouldn't eat that, which meant he had to leave. Now, for most people, that'd be a setback, right? You're kicked out of the house. Instead, he got on a train for the first time in his life, went to Summit, New Jersey, and his life transformed.
He started out in the music business.
Yes. He was managing a nightclub. Then he was spotted by Joe Glazer, who ran a company called Associated Booking, which had 75% of all the black entertainment acts in America, from Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Billie Holiday, everybody. And he said, you've got an ability, and we're going to assign you some people. I don't want to do that. Well, you're going to do it. And he ended up managing, black, white, or otherwise, some of the biggest acts of that era. And ended up being sent to Los Angeles, where he really flourished.
One of the things we really get about Clarence Avant in the documentary is his fearlessness.
Yes.
His ability to walk into any room, speak his mind,
yes,
and make his point.
Mm.
What was behind that fearlessness?
I think the same courage that made him say, I need to kill my stepfather. A sense of like, I don't have any resources, I don't have any contacts, but I'm going to figure this out. And I don't see any reason why I shouldn't ask for as much as I can. And it's easy for me to back down from there. And he had a strong sense of justice. He got told sort of the matrixy kind of like, this is how the world really works, from Joe Glazer. And no matter what room he ascended to, as he went higher and higher up the corporate food chain, he always rose to the occasion while maintaining his values, which is a pretty rare combination.
My guest is Reggie Hudlin. We're talking about his new film, The Black Godfather, which is about Clarence Avant, one of the most significant men in the music industry in Hollywood, especially in the black entertainment industry that people don't know about him. It's interesting. In the documentary, he's so funny. He's of such a certain era of a... where he doesn't really want to talk to you, but then he's going to talk to you about stuff. And he comes back to this current refrain of, it's all about the numbers. It's all about the numbers. And he's sort of suggesting it's all about the money. But it really isn't only about the money for him. When you really, at the end of the day, after all of these interviews and spending so much time with him, when you think about, yeah, it's about the money, what else is it about?
Well, I mean, it is about the money in that he wants measurable growth. Right. And he looked around and says, look, there's a whole bunch of people who are creating value and they're not getting what they deserve for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to fight for people to get their fair payment for the value that they create. I mean, he's fighting for economic parity, which is still the front lines of the battlefield. I mean, as the women's soccer team. Right. So he fought for that, for black people, for anybody. And the second thing is, he understood that he said, look, I didn't march, you know, because if someone hits me, I'll hit back. I'm not the nonviolent guy. But the fact is, he had a unique battlefield, which was the boardroom. And whether it was going to Coca-Cola and, you know, getting Hank Aaron the biggest endorsement deal that any athlete had ever had at the time, at a time where Hank Aaron was about to break Babe Ruth's record, not only not getting any endorsement offers, but getting death threats by the back full every day. So his, okay, here's an unfairness and I'm going to make it right, which he did. And, you know, it was great for Hank. It was great for Coca-Cola. It was great for America. And that's him all day, every day.
So when he was in the music industry, he had two labels, and he was also, you know, I forgot about this, that he really was behind Janet Jackson's breakthrough.
Yeah.
What was it he could see in talent? What do you think was his sort of superpower about what he saw in talent?
Well, I think he is a guy who was very open-minded, right? Again, I bought my first 45 when my parents gave me an allowance was Scorpio by Dennis Coffey. Scorpio was a guitar player in the Motown house band, right? And he made this super funky record, which was a hit in the 70s, but had another life in the 80s as a hip-hop break, right? So if you talk to any old-school hip-hop heads, they're like, oh, that's the jam. What I didn't really know when I bought that 45 was that he was white. And Clarence didn't care that he was white. He was just like, this guy's talented, and I'm just going to do this. And he was always that kind of open-minded guy, which led to him signing Bill Withers, who every label had passed on, because Bill did not look like James Brown or like Al Green, but still incredibly soulful, and figure out a way to be kind of a folk artist and be really funky all at the same time.
My guest is Reggie Hudlin. We're talking about his new documentary, The Black Godfather, which is all about Clarence Avant. Now, he got involved with politics, and this is a great clip we have of the first time Andrew Young encountered Clarence Avant and sort of figured out what he could do for him. Let's take a listen.
Andy really didn't know me. Andy really didn't know him. So I called Andy.
He called up and he said, you Andy Young? I said, yeah. He said, you running for Congress? I said, yeah. He said, in Georgia? I said, yeah. He said, are you crazy? I said, well, I don't know. I probably am. He said, well, if you're crazy enough to run, I'm crazy enough to try to help you. What do you need? I said, I need everything.
I said, suppose I can deliver Isaac Hayes and the rare earth. He said, I don't have any money. I said, I didn't ask you that.
Andy said, next thing he knows, he's driving down the street and there's a big billboard on the street saying, concert coming for Andy Young, and he's got all these artists coming. I mean, it was just magical.
So they showed up and in a pouring down rain, we had 30,000 people. And that launched my political campaign.
So Clarence Avant was involved with Hillary Clinton's campaign, ultimately with Barack Obama's campaign. What are his political aims?
He's a fighter for justice. He doesn't want to make a big deal of his outward appearance is always the gruff businessman. It's dollars and cents, but ultimately, he knows he wants to make the country a better place, and he looks for candidates who are going to be good fighters for fairness.
You point out some of his foibles. He got in trouble with his taxes, with his money, with his house, and what do you think actually is his Achilles heel?
Well, I think he figured out he's not an operator, right? He's an extraordinary deal maker, but a lot of deal makers are not necessarily people who should manage the company. So for him, running the radio station was too far. Mm-hmm. And he had, a much greater success with his second label, Taboo, which was, very successful. But ultimately, I think what he is he's a connector. He brings things together and he solves problems.
Did he seek you out when you were first starting out?
He did. George Jackson, who was a young producer that Clarence was mentoring, said, "Oh, I know this guy a couple of years after me in college. He made this short movie called House Party."
I love that that was your thesis at Harvard, was House Party.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Well, yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about you.
It was, I think they changed the rules so that would never happen again. Like, what? So they flew me out to LA and Clarence met me at the airport. Now, I had heard about Clarence, right? From, Russell Simmons, from Andre Harrell. And they're like, he's like Zeus, he's, so I met this guy, like, oh my God. And he took me to his home, which was beautiful, fit with all this amazing art. And I go, he is this guy, and I've got to tell this story.
The name of the film is The Black Godfather. It is currently on Netflix. It's also in select theaters. Reggie Hedlund is the executive producer and the director. Reggie, thanks for stopping by. Let's go out with some Bill Withers. What do you think?
Always.
This is All of It, and this is Bill Withers.
My friend. Is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me he-